We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. In your daily life, expect flesh and spirit tugs. I wonder what this is going to be about. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. We honor God by standing when we read His Word. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Now, in review, remember the theme. There are three things that you're supposed to remember from 2 Timothy. Hold fast. Preach the word. Be strong. That's what Paul's words were to Timothy. Hold fast, Timothy. Preach the word. Be strong. And then last week we talked about be faithful wherever God has placed you. Wherever God has placed you, that's full-time ministry for you. That's what we went through. Remember, false teachers, we talked about false teachers and the foolishness of false teachers. Like to fight, they like to dispute about words, about everything else in life to try to get you off track. Your duty is to be faithful to the God's word and to be faithful where he has placed you and to hold fast to what you believe. Do not move from the truth that you have been taught. Do not move from the truth that you've been taught. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue into things which you have learned. This is Paul to Timothy. Continue into things which you have learned. Why is he saying that? Because he's been inundated with false teachers saying, change your course, Timothy. Change what you believe, Timothy. We are being inundated by a culture that is telling you to change your view on God, change your view on Jesus, embrace all world religions, embrace things that are anti-God. That is what we're living in. Timothy had his time. We have our time. Hold fast, Timothy. Remember the things that you have learned. Remember the things that you have been taught. Be faithful and do not engage in useless banter. And last week, that was verse 16, he says, avoid idle babbling, Timothy. Don't get in fights with these people. Empty chatter, don't get involved with it. The faithful are to be diligent. And I don't know if you remember this, but the one thing that you are called to do as a believer is to study, to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Now there's a right way to handle the word, and there's a wrong way to handle the word. And the right way is have the word say what it says, and not make it say what you want it to say. Okay, there's a big difference. Big difference. So you do the study to do that. Now remember, Satan has tactics. He has tactics, he's deceptive, he has a message that is, remember, 90% truth, 10% lie. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. And then your Holy Spirit ears do what? They go, whoa, that's off. That's off. He's very deceptive, distorts, and their message will lead people astray. Remember, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, and his ministers into ministers as ministers of righteousness. And especially the untaught are the ones that are the most easy prey for these people. The untaught, man, that sounds good. That really appeals to me. That sort of thing. That's why it's our duty to study to show ourselves approved. Be diligent to show yourselves approved. Be faithful. Your job, your calling is to be faithful with the truth wherever God has placed you. And in a culture of lies and distortion, in a culture of truth twisting, remember what it meant? You have to correctly handle the word of truth. That word meant cutting it straight. We are to cut straight the word of God. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you're talking about cutting it straight, walking in absolute truth, what are you seeing in the political arena today? Are you seeing anything even close to resembling any type of truth in this thing? Watch a debate, and you will see lie, 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 lie. And like I said before, out of 300 million people in this country, this is what we get. You know why we got it? It's God's judgment on America, folks. God is judging America. America is not going up. Regardless of what you hear, these are our best days now and the best days going forward. That's not true. Why is it not true? Because you cannot kick God out of the culture and think you're going to be blessed. You can't marginalize the nation of Israel and think you're going to be blessed. You can't tell people they can't pray in schools. You can't have the Ten Commandments in the culture. You can't tell God to get in his corner and only stay in his corner. You can't do that and be blessed. This is not America's best days, folks. You are watching the demise of a nation, unfortunately. And unless there is revival in this nation, unless it starts a sweeping revival in this nation, you are watching the demise of a culture. A demise of a culture. Now, be faithful in this milieu that you've been placed in, each one of us. Be faithful where God has placed you. And remember, you can be faithful knowing that your foundation is firm. That was verse 19. God's solid foundation is firm. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You are standing on a firm foundation. Therefore, you can be strong. You can preach the word, even though they don't want to hear the truth. And you can hold fast against the tidal wave of lies and distortion. You can do this because of who dwells within you. Okay? Be faithful wherever God has placed you. That's what we talked about last week. This week, in your daily life, expect flesh and spirit tugs. We're not home yet, folks. While we're in this body, each one of us are going to experience this. Our flesh wants to reign, and it must be subdued, and our spirit allowed to have control. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've allowed us again, another week of life. Another week that we can be with you. Another week that we can impact a culture because we are salt and light in this culture. And another week that we have struggled with spirit and flesh tugs. Holy Spirit, teach us today how to have victories in areas that we have heretofore had trouble in. Speak to each one of us, Holy Spirit. Teach us what we do not know. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 22, the tug of lust is incessant, do not give in. The tug of lust is incessant, do not give in. Now, is that a true statement? Do you find that to be true in your life? Well, I bet you it is true because I'll expand on this in just a second. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Now, this isn't to youth only. You just don't have lust when you're 17. You have lust when you're 27, 37, 47, 57, 87, 97, 100. Well, how long as you're here, you're going to have it. That's how it goes. It's not just, so he's just talking about lust, period. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, the question is, what is lust? What is lust? Most of us have a thought of what that is. Well, the word is epithumia in the Greek. And epi, of course, is upon. Remember, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Epi, upon you for strength. Epi is just a Greek word coming upon. Thumos is the mind, the soul. It is a mind war. We've been through this before. It is a mind war. Lust is a mind war. Zadiades describes it this way in his Greek dictionary. The active and individual desire resulting from the diseased condition of the soul, the mind. Remember, the soul is the mind. The mind. And remember, please hear this. We all have this disease. We all have the lust disease. We all have it because we are all depraved people. And we won't be escaping the lust disease until we are in heaven. But we have been given the power to live through and to overcome areas that we have difficulties in. Now, with that said, how is lust manifested? Well, it depends on how you're wired. We're all wired differently, okay? Most commonly, we associate lust with illicit sexual desire. And that's a very common thing, would be a correct way to look at it, but it's not the only thing. An area of extreme attack in our culture is this sexuality thing. Sex sells, and it sells on every corner, every place you turn. About 30 years ago, I knew that America was in trouble when they were advertising milk. And that this sexy girl comes out in a nice form-fitting outfit and she has milk and she's drinking the milk, and I'm thinking, they're using sex to sell milk. Milk. An area of extreme attack in our culture. It's on every corner, it's on every ad, it's on your TV screens, it's in movies, it's in magazines. And I will tell you what is rampant in this country. And it is damaging the hearts and the minds of our people. And it isn't just young people. This crosses a whole vast spectrum, and that is pornography. Pornography is rampant, and many are addicted. I want to tell you that this addiction is as addicting as cocaine or heroin or any other substance that you can be addicted to, because it changes the brain chemistry. Here are these statistics. They're rather amazing. Rather amazing. Young adults in pornography. Now remember, the moral state of America is a decline. And when you exit God, you enter evil. Okay? 67% of the 18 to 26-year-old men believe that pornography is acceptable. I've got no problem with this. 67%. 49% of the women believe the same thing. 87% of young men report using pornography and say it's acceptable. And it's progressive. Child pornography is becoming more and more rampant as the culture gets more depraved. 20,000 images of child pornography are posted online every week. 20% of all internet pornography involves children. Adult pornographic industry traffic is 20 to 30% children. Folks, it's a progressive sin, and it is devastating. And children are the object of some of this awfulness that we see going on. Online predator statistics, and I'm telling you, protect yourself and protect your children. Protect your children. 1 in 7 children who use the internet, 1 in 7 have been sexually solicited. 1 in 4 children participate in real-time chat rooms, which exposes them to this type of thing. 1 in 4. 1 in 5 10 to 17-year-olds receive unwanted sexual solicitations online. And then hear this. 2 in 5 abductions of children aged 15 to 17 are due to internet contact, and most of them end up in sex slave rings. This isn't just taking them to foreign countries. This is happening in America today, and there's where a lot of kids are taken off and never heard of from again. It's devastating. 76% of victims in the internet initiated sexual exploitations were 13 to 15 years old, and 75% of those were girls. Now, is it just them, or does it involve married couples and families? I can tell you, marriage does not protect you from this. Does not protect you from this. 47% of Christian families said pornography is a problem. 2 out of 3 divorces say the internet had a heavy role to play in this. Heavy role to play in it. 9 out of 10 children between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed pornography. 9 out of 10 between 18 and 16 have viewed pornography. When I was a young man, we would try to sneak around and get a Playboy or a penthouse, and it took work to do that. It took work. Now you got this phone on your hip, and all you got to do is bam, you are there. That's why this addiction is much greater than penthouse or Playboy ever thought of being. It's more interactive, it's more real, it's more right in your face. And I'm telling you, this culture is suffering from this. 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds have viewed hardcore pornography. And listen to this. Pornography is deadly to relationships. It's deadly to relationships. As little as 6 hours of softcore porn, now softcore is anything that's designed to arouse one sexually, is enough to do the following. Now think about relationships and families and husbands and wives. It destroys the satisfaction with his or her spouse. The spouse just isn't measuring up to what I see on the internet. It decreases the value of faithfulness, where cheating is considered normal. It is a decrease in partner satisfaction. People lose the ability to be with one person and cherish that one person forever. Unless you think Christianity protects you from this, here are these statistics. 51% of pastors say cyber pornography is a temptation and a problem for them. 51%. 33% of the clergy admitted to having visited a sexually illicit website, many of them monthly, some of them weekly. 57% of pastors say the addiction to pornography is the most sexually damaging issue to their congregation. Is lust a problem in America? Is lust a problem in our homes? You bet it is. Are we living in a sick, depraved time? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I'll tell you, this is the worst time for this in history. Why is it the worst? The technology invades our lives, folks. When I was a young man, me and my buddy, we had to sneak into the store, go into the back room, and try to buy these magazines, which they wouldn't sell to us half the time. Okay? Well, that's how we had to do it. And you come out all embarrassed, and you got the thing hidden, and that sort. Now you got everything on your hip, and you got your computer, and it's right in your face. And I feel very sorry for this generation of young people that is struggling with this, and men and women that are caught up in it. It is addictive, and it's damaging. And there's a way out. There's a way out. Now, sex is one aspect of lust, but lust also encompasses many other areas. Hear this. Lust also encompasses pride, power, jealousy, craving desire for more and more and more stuff. Lust also involves aggressive, argumentative spirits, always right attitude. Remember, it's epithumia, it's upon the mind. There's an attitude that goes on here. Lust is a battle of the mind. All of our senses are involved. Remember that your five senses are inputting into your soul, into your mind, into your brain. Your eye gate, ear gate, smell, taste, touch. It's all inputting into your brain. All the senses are involved. Now hear this. The Holy Spirit power is the cure. And it's the only cure. The Holy Spirit power is the cure. Step number one, and if you zero in on this, step number one is flee. That's what it says here. Flee also youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. Flee. You flee the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? What is the flesh? The flesh is our self-life. Our life that is apart from God. You know what your flesh is? Me, myself, and I. I want, I get, I'm the head, I'm the king, I'm the crown, I'm the top of everything. I'm the one that needs to be, I'm the king baby. That's what the flesh is. Wants to be fed. And I call it the Larry, Moe, and Curly of our personality. The Three Stooges. It was much more popular years ago. Some of you remember, okay? Now, what do you do with the flesh? You are to run. You are to run away. Shun it. Vanish from it. Do not hang around the flesh. Do not hang around with the old you that wants to go back to the flesh because that person's still there, okay? The life and death struggle. Flight is the watchword for overcoming the flesh. Flight is the watchword for overcoming the flesh. It is absolutely essential. But you must flee the flesh and do something else, because if you only flee, you will stumble and fall. You must do step two. You must do step two, and that is to pursue righteousness. So flee and pursue. Step number two, pursue the Spirit-led life. That takes work, doesn't it? Doesn't happen automatically. And you are to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And people might ask, You mean this isn't automatic when I become a Christian? It's just not automatic. I'm just going to be righteous. And you're declared righteous. Remember, that's justification. You're declared righteous, but are you righteous? No, we're trapped. We're trapped in this flesh. So there's something that has to go on. It's called sanctification. It's called holiness, being set apart unto God, being conformed to the likeness of Christ. That's a process. That's a process. That's not imputed. That's not imputed. That's a process. It's not automatic. The Spirit-led, Spirit-filled life is the only way to have freedom over old strongholds. We must be filled with the Spirit. Now, I gave you this overhead before. You want to remember that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And God now looks at you as His temple. And if you look up on the screen, this is from Chuck Missler's Kingdom, Power, and Glory, and you look at this part of the temple is we are saved. This is the light of God. This is the Holy of Holies. This is the holy place. These are the outer courts of our life. When we are saved, we have a new spirit that allows us to have communication with the living God. God has given us a new heart, allows us to live separate and sanctified. When you go into this holy place, that is where you are. The prayers are being answered. You have already come through the court here and made sacrifice. The altar of there's a cleansing altar here. We go into the holy place, and then there's the table of showbread, the menorah, the altar of incense, and we're preparing ourselves to have communion with God. We have a new heart that allows us to do this. We have a new willpower that allows us to live different than we lived in the past. Now watch what happens to you. Again, this is a review for most of you. Now watch what happens here. The spirit life is this light. This is the area where decisions are made. This is the area where I can make an emotional choice. I can rely on my emotions. I can fall back into the power of sin. This area right here is called the hidden chambers. And in the hidden chambers are the hidden things in your life, like anger, lust, unforgiveness, fear, those types of things. There's a plethora of things. And these things are to be burned in the real temple in the sacrificial service when they're sacrificing the sheep or the lamb or whatever it is to prepare the person to go into the presence of God. Now, these hidden chambers are the things that are going to impact my decisions. Right here are two pillars. And these are pillars in the actual temple, but these pillars also, I believe, exist in the saved person's temple, the inside of you. One is Boaz, God is my strength. God is my strength. And Yakin is that God will allow me to stand any pressure that comes my way. The Spirit of God gives me the strength to make a faith choice instead of any emotional choice. And when I make a faith choice, I'm then doing God's will. I have God's power. I'm walking in the Spirit. But every time something comes across our path, I have the potential to block the power of God and make an emotional flesh choice instead of a faith choice. I can live victoriously over my sin, or I can be captive by constantly giving in, not invoking the power that God has given me by these pillars of strength, which is the Spirit of God within you that gives you the strength to do whatever you have to do. This is an essential thing to know. This goes on hundreds of times a day. Hundreds of times a day. I might be walking like this in power of God most of my day. And then Satan knows the little bit of thing that's going to attract me. And in the right conditions, at the right time, he knows how to drop the bait just made for you. And I can go from this power of God over to this flesh in one thought. You want to remember, continuous victory is walking by faith choices, not by flesh choices. Okay? Everybody have that. Thank you, Chuck Missler. Hear this. We want to have freedom. We want to walk in this spirit-led life. You want to have freedom. You want to have freedom over your fears, your anxieties, your disappointments. Disappointments are part of that hidden chamber. I'm disappointed with this situation. You want to have freedom over whatever you're dealing with. Listen to this. Number one, freedom comes with confess and repent of your sin. Don't cover it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't blame somebody else. Confess and repent. It's a must for me to be free. If I want to be free, that's number one. Number two, I must choose to unconditionally forgive. Now look, everybody in here has been a victim of some sort at some time. And we can harbor resentment, which is going to block that flow of light into our lives. And we can live in anger, we can live in bitterness, we can live in disappointment until the day we die and be unhappy campers. And where have we experienced the joy of the Lord in that? Because we have harbored this bitter unforgiveness. We must forgive. We want to release the wrong, we want to forgive the person and release them into God's hand and free yourself from bitterness. Number three, we're to lay everything, all of our sins at the foot of the cross. Hold nothing back. Number four, replace the lies with the truth of God's word. What I mean by that is the world, the flesh, and the devil will lie to you, and you are to replace those lies with the truth that you know from God's word. That is what you have to do. And number five, from the moment-to-moment aspects of your day, make a faith choice instead of a flesh choice. And the reason why you can make a faith choice because of a flesh choice, because you can. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit is in you, and you can be different. Now, when you make a faith choice, the more often you make a faith choice instead of a flesh choice, you are going through a change in your brain chemistry. Remember, there are tracts in your brain. When you see a picture of a brain, gyruses and sulcuses, these are tracts. These are ways of communication in your brain that are deeply ingrained. And to change those, you must make a faith choice to create new pathways over a period of time that changes the way that you think, the way that you think. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 elucidates this. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not think like the world. Do not act like the world. Do not do what the world does. Don't get involved with that. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed, changed from the inside out, changed brain chemistry, changed the way I'm thinking. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Nuos. It's your brain. It's your way of thinking. That's how you have victory, that you may then prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I am going to change and renew my mind. I'm going to go from insane me to sane me. Old pattern me to new pattern me. And it takes a change in brain chemistry to do this. That's why it's so easy for us to relapse into our old us. Those are old tracks well ingrained in our thinking. Well ingrained. They have to be smoothed out, so to speak, like sanding a rough surface. And we do that by making faith choices that then change the chemistry and change the way that we think. Is everybody on board? We got this? Okay. That was weak, but okay. So, flee the flesh, pursue the Spirit-led life, and live with a transformed mind. That's our goal. And the tug of lust will be broken. But you must do this. It's not going to be whammy, whammy. No, this is something that happens as you give yourself over to God and you follow the precepts in His Word. You spend time in His Word and prayer and with His people, and you're growing. If you do not do that, you'll be stuck in the old you, wondering, why is my life so miserable? Why isn't this all working out? Oh, gloom and despair, this Christianity thing really doesn't work, that sort of thing. That is stinking thinking, and it's not true. So, lust is powerful, but I'll tell you, God is more powerful. Now, talking about flesh and spirit tugs, verse 23. The flesh tug of arguing to get my way. Anybody ever been there? Better said, has anybody not been there? I'd like to meet you, okay? Because we all do this to some degree. We all do this to some degree. Verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes or quarrels, knowing that they do what? Generate strife. These are foolish and ignorant disputes. These are arguments that don't need to have to occur. These are arguments with false teachers in context that Paul is telling Timothy, don't get involved with. This is the third time he's mentioned this to Timothy. Don't argue with the false teachers. Don't argue with the false teachers. Don't get involved with these people. You speak the truth to them. You tell them what the truth is of the Word of God. And if they start to get in that circle thing, you withdraw from it. Now, we can extrapolate from this our life, disputes and quarrels in our life. This can apply to flesh fights with false teachers or to our human life, our daily life, interactions with people. Now, every day we will face the tug to argue, to get my way. Now, why is that? It's a flesh thing. It's a flesh thing. When you feel you're percolating, you feel you're, what's the thing here? The Doberman pincher thing? You got that thing going up? That's flesh. You can identify it in a second. Identify it in a second. When I'm fighting to get my way, that's a flesh thing. I know I'm right. I'm digging in, and I'm not considering the fallout because I'm right. I'm right in this situation. I don't care what the fallout is. That's a flesh thing. That's a flesh thing. When you feel the tug to argue, ask yourself this question. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And I'll tell you, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, will give you a little insight into this. Hear this. Who is wise? And that wisdom is wisdom in respect to God and His ways. That's the wisdom we want. We don't want the world's wisdom. We want God's wisdom. Who is wise in understanding among you? Let him show it by, watch this, good conduct, and that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness, that's a way that you approach people, isn't it? Meekness. Watch the counterfeit. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, I suggest to you these are flesh tugs. Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast, that's the flesh, and lie, that's the flesh, against the truth. Those are flesh tugs, okay? This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly of the world, is sensual of the flesh, and is demonic. It's from the devil. Okay? For where envy and self-seeking exist, watch what comes in. Confusion and every evil thing. You can tell if it's a flesh thing when the chaos comes into the argument, into the discussion. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. Watch this. That's not contaminated. Peaceable. These are attitudes. These are attitudes. Gentle. Willing to yield. Now, when's the last time you were willing to yield? Okay, you're right. There's a way to do this, you know. It is. I'll just give you me. Okay, you're right. You got. Am I saying that that person's right? If I go, okay, you're right. No, you are right on this. There's a different way of saying that. There's a posture, isn't there? There's body language that's going on. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, we are without partiality and sincere. This is how Paul says that we should deal. This is how James says we should deal with the flesh tugs that Paul is talking about. Now, Paul is going to go on to say how we deal with these tugs of life with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the next couple verses, and then we'll be finished. Verse 24 through 26. The Holy Spirit tug in dealing with disputes. Now, this is the right way to deal with disputes, okay? Verse 24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord. Now, who is a servant of the Lord? Us. All the people that are saved are servants of the Lord. Good job. No hesitation there. Must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. Watch this. Patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, metanoia, a change of mind, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, who, having been taken captive by him, to do his will. So, there's a big difference. Now again, in context here, Paul is talking about to Timothy about fighting with false teachers, disputing with false teachers, quarreling with them. We are to approach them in a certain way. Gentle, teaching them, patient, humility, and that sort of thing. So there's a big difference here between the way we respond in the flesh tugs, and the spirit tugs, or the spirit way that we should respond in our being. Remember, we represent Christ, not our agenda. Do you hear that? We represent Christ, not our agenda. What is the highest thing that we have in our life? The Lord Jesus, not me being right and getting my way. Okay? The spirit tug is this. It's not disputing, it's not quarreling, and it's not fighting. Now, I want you to notice something. The Holy Spirit attitude difference. The Holy Spirit attitude difference. The believer has this. It's much different than the flesh. Gentleness. This is a spirit tug. Gentleness. Gentle to all is what he said. It's a positive attitude. It's a positive face. You can't be gentle and be going, jugular vein sticking out, you know, face beet red. You can't do that. It's not gentle, is it? That's flesh. You can identify that guy, can't you? Living right there, right inside your being. Gentleness, a positive faith. Body language, the tone in a voice, not mean-spirited, that sort of thing. Gentleness. Another spirit tug is able to teach. Each one of us are called, as servants, to be able to teach. What does that mean? Able to get your point across without a disputing posture. That's only the Holy Spirit. Because when I'm getting my point across in the flesh Rick, I'm trying to get my way, and usually I'm kind of pushy and leaning in and that sort of thing. You know that I'm coming at you in Rick flesh. But when the Spirit takes over, there's a different way that I'm going to respond. And it's the same with you. Able to teach, not ramping up the chaos. Another spirit tug is to be patient. In this case, it's be patient with the one who you're arguing with. It's your opponent. And listen to this. If you are patient, you will take time to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen. How often are you listening in the dispute? I can tell you, you can be arguing with me, and this is my tactic. I'm not hearing a thing you're saying as I'm developing my next point to slaughter you. That's what the flesh does. And I would venture to say that's what most of us do when we're caught up in that. And then in humility, get that, humble, correcting. When you are right, it isn't going to be a posture of, I told you so. Doesn't that just grind you? Isn't it just a little, told you so? You know, gentleness, meekness, easy to deal with. That's humility. Humility does not steamroll a person. Humility does not steamroll a person to get their way. Okay? These are all Holy Spirit attitudes. When you act in this manner, you are walking in the Spirit and you are led by the Spirit. Now, the next point is exceedingly important. Exceedingly important. Watch what happens here. If you are acting in with gentleness, patience, humility, whether it's a false teacher that you're dealing with, whether it's an interpersonal thing that you're dealing with, watch what happens. Who enters the fray? If God perhaps will grant repentance. That's who I want to come into the fray. I want to bring God into this whole thing. God, it's God who grants repentance, the change of mind, metanoia. It is God who changes the hearts of people. It's not my great argument. I can't change anybody's mind. I can't. I can try. And fleshly Rick tries that a lot. But it doesn't work. God changes the heart. God opens the eyes. God softens the heart. It is God who changes a flesh tug to a spirit tug. And folks, hear this. Allow God to change the person's mind or your mind in the situation. It could go both ways, okay? So that they may know the truth. So that they may know the truth. The goal for the quarreler, the disputer, is for the disputer to come to their senses and avoid Satan's trap. I'm going to ask you this question. Who are you bringing into this discussion? Satan brings chaos and disrupts the calm. Jesus brings peace to any storm and soothes the waters. Think about who you're bringing to this dispute or this quarrel. Who are you going to bring? Who are you bringing to the conflict? And you cannot, let me say this, you cannot be gentle, you cannot be patient, and you cannot be humble on your own. These are not attributes of who we are in the natural. This is Holy Spirit fruit that is produced in you as you've yielded your life to God. This does not come natural. Does not come natural. You enter the chaos of a dispute with the calm of the Holy Spirit in the hopes that the opposer will escape Satan's trap and be set free and know the truth. Again, this is God's job to set the people free. We can't do it. We are simply called to do our part. That's all we can do. It's God's job. Now, in your daily life, let's conclude this. In your daily life, expect flesh and spirit tugs. Expect this. The tug of lust is incessant. Do you realize that? I mean, we all are going to agree with that. Do not give in. Make a faith choice and do these three things. Flee the flesh. And if you flee the flesh, the second thing that you must do, pursue the Spirit. You cannot just flee the flesh. You must pursue the Spirit. That takes work. That's study to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Flee the flesh, pursue the Spirit, and then you will live with a transformed mind. When you start to have victories in this area, your thinking is going to change, and your actions will follow your thinking. Where you used to be, got to get this right, got to be, you know, pushing and shoving and that sort of thing, you start to change your attitude as thinking changes. Transformation in the mind occurs. Number two, the wise thing to do when you feel the tug to argue, which you're going to probably feel at some time today, okay, seek God's wisdom in the situation and determine, is it wise, according to what we learned in James, is it wise and is it worth it? Let's just talk about this for just a second. I would say 90% of our arguments are meaningless. You know what I mean by that? They're arguments for power and control in a certain situation. Power and control in a certain situation that you're trying to exert on the other person. And it's meaningless. Meaningless whether this is done this way or that way or that sort of thing. And number three, in dealing with disputes, you can tell that the Holy Spirit is leading you when you are gentle, when you are patient, and when you are humble. And allow God to work to set the captive free. You cannot set them free. You can help in the process, but it is God who sets the people free. It is God who sets us free. And I'm telling you, when you're in the argument, look, do some introspection on yourself if you're sane enough to do that. Because we go insane in these arguments. You know, we're not in our right mind for a period of time. If you can get a hold of yourself, you know, think a little bit sanely about this. Allow God to work in the situation. And remember this, God wins the battle and not you. You simply do your part. I mentioned that before. And finally, in conclusion, in your daily life, expect flesh and spirit tugs. They will happen every day that you live. You will have to make a faith choice or a flesh choice, and the determination is in you. And you have the power as a child of God to make a faith choice. Because you have this, what, the pillars of Boaz, God is my strength, and Yakin, God is able to make me stand in the situation. It is within you. It's in us, okay? Now with that, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. It's rather interesting that this is an area that's difficult for every one of us, because we are all programmed in a way to get our way. Somehow, some way, some people are overt in the way that they do this and argue vociferously, and some are passive-aggressive to try to get their way, but we're all involved in this to some extent, some way. Help us to identify the way that we are doing it in the flesh, whether it's a lustful situation and we're dealing with sexual lust, or it's a lustful situation, we're dealing with power and control and that sort of thing. Help us to realize what we're doing and help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Help us to be people that want to accomplish your will, not our will. That doesn't come natural. And so, Lord, I ask you right now to have each one of us pray to be filled with your Spirit. That's what it says in in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit. And we know that if we're filled with the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need your strength, God. We can't do this on our own. And right now, I pray for people that are captive in whatever lust situation they are in, that they will identify it, repent of it, confess it, invoke the power that God has within them, and that they will be delivered, and that there will be transformed minds all over this room. Lord, we need this. I'm tired of the old way. I'm tired of the old me. I'm tired of this falling down, getting up, making promises, starting over. Lord, help us to do this right, your way, not our way. Thank you for this teaching. Please put it into each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.